we truly have here is in Him is free indeed. That means you're really free. When you hear indeed, it means not only free, you're really free. Okay, and to have that understanding, a person who's really free can be in the world. And that's why in Romans 7 it talks about a person says, "If you're a slave, don't let it trouble you." Because a person who's free indeed, whatever happens down here really doesn't hold them down. And that's why I even know as a pastor, even I'm just as a Christian, I'm still not 100. I'm still not in my freedom. You know what I'm saying? I accept Christ, but I'm still not in my freedom because I still allow things down here to hold me down, to still disrupt me, to still frustrate me. If I was truly understood and lived in my freedom, whatever happened down here, I'd be like Job and be like, "Okay, God, so, you know, how do you want me to handle this thing you put me in?" Not, "Why did you put me in this?" Do y'all get this? You understand that? And like I said, Job was even less than us in the sense of he didn't have that access to the Holy Spirit. And for him to have that understanding of God is my freedom. I live for God. And that's what each and every one of us should live. That's why a person can be in slavery and still be free. But you have a lot of people who are free and definitely in bondage. So that's where this whole thing kind of went and showed what true bondage was and what true slavery was. And where we last left off, who remembers? That's right. Okay, so the very last page down at the bottom, we'll read these last things. First of all, in our spiritual freedom, we are to make ourselves slaves for the sake of the gospel. Okay, so a person who's truly free makes that understanding. That's why he says in First Corinthians 9:19, "Though I am free." So after you're a Christian, you recognize you're free. You say, "And belong to no man, including yourself." Okay. I make myself a slave to who? Key. That's the key word. Because unfortunately, a lot of us will read this, and we still only make ourselves slaves to some. He says, everyone. See, some of us pick a select group of people, pat ourselves on the back, and say, "I'm working with these people, but I'm ignoring these people. These people get on my nerves. Don't like these people," right? No, he said, everyone. Even the ones gets on your nerves, even the ones trying to kill you, even the ones giving you a hard time, even the ones who are rich, even the ones who look like they have everything going for them, I make myself a slave to everyone. But here's the purpose, and the purpose is so important, to win as many as possible. And remember, he said earlier, if you read earlier in like 17 or 18, for the sake of the gospel. So I don't make myself a slave to you for you. I make myself a slave for you for God. That's the difference maker. Do y'all get that? Okay, everything, please, I'm giving the answer right now to everything in the Bible has to be based on God. The foundation purpose has to be based on God. Like I said, as I married my wife, if I love my wife based on my wife, I'm hurting my wife, and I really don't love my wife. Do y'all get that? When somebody says, "I'm going to spoil you, and I'm going to do everything you want me to do," I don't love you. I'm damaging them. We do that with our kids. They wanted this, and they didn't really want to do this, and I wanted to give them everything I didn't have. You're hating your kid. Right? Okay. However, when I do what the Bible tells me to do, because God is love, I'm loving them. When I love my wife the way God says, and I'm doing it based on what God says, that is love. Love is always based on God. So when he says, "I make myself a slave to everyone," then he tells me to love my enemies. It won't go, "Oh, God, that's going to be hard," because it's only hard when it's based on me. Right? When it's based on God, nothing's hard. It's just instruction. It's what you want me to do next. Oh, this person hurting this thing that I'm in? I'm going to go love him. Y'all get that? But that's the mindset we have to get to. Unfortunately, we still live for self and kind of honor God. We like to think we're living for God. In reality, this is why there are people out here that have done stuff to you. If we're all being honest, how many of you have, without raising your hand, how many of you have people in your life or certain things in your life that you're really disturbed or bothered by somebody because of something they said or did? And you really don't want to be bothered with them right now. Do you understand? And not only don't you really want to bother them, you're not being bothered with them. Not in a godly way. You're not being bothered with them because of you. Because remember, the Bible does talk about disassociation based on him. Usually when we disassociate, it's based on us. Do y'all get this? To make myself a slave, and why is it called me a slave? It means, even though I don't want to, I'm doing it. Does that make sense? That's why you heard me say, if you know, somebody at work gets on your nerves, what do you do? Taking lunch, and it's not so you can end up having best friends and being good with them, and that might happen, but most likely it won't. It's the fact that I'm telling my body, "Oh, we're going to love them." Do you understand that? I don't feel like it. But make sure the love is based on God. Don't worldly love them. You worldly love them, you're not helping them. Does everybody get that? Okay? So the slavery we make ourselves is a free slavery in order to be used by God. Everybody understand this so far? Okay? And so the final part of this is when the gift of freedom is given from Christ, we need to live spiritually. So not to still live for sin. Okay? So the only way you are 100% free, why we do fruit every year, is to be 100% spiritual. Y'all catch that? Let's look at some verses. Galatians 5, 13 through 18. You, my brothers, were called to be free. Okay, so that's the first step. But don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. That's spiritual. So he said, don't indulge in, hey, what can I do to make me happy? Do something to bless others. Did y'all catch that? He says, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. It says, so I say, and here it goes, live by the Spirit. Everybody say live. Okay, some of you are about to say walk. And the term is putting of my life has to be spiritual. He says, if you do this, watch what happens. And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, stop for a minute. Did you realize the significance of what that's saying? I'm going to put it in layman's terms. It's saying, if I live spiritually, I won't be pleased. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? You're like, but I want to be pleased. I want to feel good. But that's our problem. Think about that for a minute. Do you catch what he's saying? He's saying, if I live by the Spirit, I won't be pleased. He's like, Pastor, so you're saying we're supposed to live miserable? No, no, no. I'm living in the Spirit, so my focus is going to be on Him, not on what I want. Because what I want gives me the impression on being pleased or being satisfied. Remember, He already gave us the answer in Ecclesiastes, man cannot be satisfied. If you're eating something going, that was good, and you wake up tomorrow, what do you want? More. So it wasn't good. You weren't satisfied. You got where I'm coming from? And you know what I mean? And it's something where you start living for it, and it becomes a problem. So he's saying, if I live by the Spirit, I won't give in to pleasing me. Because the problem with me is me. He says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit was contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What this is saying is, remember I said, going flesh is going south. Going spiritual is going north, one or the other. Anybody here going north-south, you standing still. Okay? You can't do it. You're either going to be all in for God or not. And some were fooling themselves, thinking, no, I'm doing both. Okay. And that's why I say fooling yourself. How do I know? The Bible just told you that. He said they are in contrast to each other. In other words, they're totally contradicting. You can't do both. You cannot. Okay? And that's the freedom. The freedom is you'll see me searching, understanding, growing, and living the word all the time. Everybody say all the time. How often is that? All the time. Every day. Every minute. Every second. That's every. Not, I do it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I did all the stuff the Bible said. But man, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I got to get. Well, then you're not. You're fooling yourself. You know what I mean? In a roundabout way, God's probably saying, then just do it all week. Go ahead. Because that's what you're doing. You know, don't fool yourself thinking, because I did 2 or 3 days, he's going to be happy. We're not here to impress him. This is for us. Do y'all get this? It's for me. To save me from me. The final one, and we read this. It's funny how we read this because the question came up. Romans 8, 14 through 17 says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, a lot of Bibles starting to change that to children, okay? And you're like, no, and the term is sons. Now, the reason why that's so important is because, do you know all of us are sons of God? Okay? But we're just different versions of sons. Remember, it says, there's a verse that says, in Christ, let's find it real quick. I just want to show you, just so you understand why that's so important, where he shows us. In He says, the person I'm looking for tells us in Christ Jesus there is no male, female. You know what I'm talking about? If anybody knows where that is. But if you read it, it breaks it down saying there's no Jews, there's no Greeks, no Gentiles, there's no male, there's no female, there's no... And it doesn't mean those don't exist. He's saying we're all sons. But in sons, that makes me a male or male son. What is it? That's it. Yeah, Galatians 3, 28. All right. Yep. And that's why it says, it starts off in verse 26, you are all what? Sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized in Christ Jesus have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, we're all still sons. So if I'm a slave, I'm a slave son. Do you understand that? I'm a male son. Some of you are female sons, okay? You know, and it just goes, but you're all still sons. Okay, so that's important to understand. He is our dad, we're all equal sons. Everybody got that? Okay, so, and that's why he uses, you are all sons, but to let us know that. So we are all sons, including the women. And it's saying, in verse 15, back to the page, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Why is that so important? Because some of us are going, why am I still struggling? Before, it was a slavery. Now, it's a choice. Why do you think it's going to be more tolerable for the people in Sodom and Gomorrah and the people of Tyre and Sidon than it is for us today? Because we are empowered. We just allowed our desires to become so strong. That's what 2 Timothy, why you keep hearing me bring that up, 2 Timothy 3 says, terrible times. We are so engaged with self, we think this is impossible. We really do. We really think, I can't. Instead of, no, I'm not. And not only am I not, I'm empowered not to. Right? 2 Peter 1, he says, his divine power has given us how much? Everything we need for what? Life and godliness. So you have it. So when we go, I can't, that's just my lie that I'm allowing Satan to tell me. And I'm accepting it. He says, because we didn't receive a spirit that makes us slaves again, but it gives us a spirit of sonship, that by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. I encourage you once again, go through this again, get a stronger understanding of what it truly means to be free, because you'd be surprised how many of us are still in bondage. Amen? One question. Okay.
We were saying about having a spirit of fear.
Yes.
Does timid fall in there too?
Timid is fear. In fact, that's the fear it's talking about. Yeah, timid and fear. Timid fear he's talking about is when I'm, once again, if you want to know a good definition of the wrong type of fear, it's fear based on anything else than God or the wisdom that God gives us, if that makes sense. You understand that? Because some people may say, so then when I see a lion come towards me and I'm running and I may be screaming, is that timid fear? And you're like, no, that's wisdom, yeah, in a sense. You understand that? You're using wisdom in the sense of realizing, I don't know about the screaming part, but the wisdom inside of, I know what this lion is capable of doing. Do you understand that? But the timid fear is when I'm fear based on my or your interpretation of what I'm supposed to be scared of. Does that make sense? Or I'm scared because of you, not God. Reverent fear is because of God or based on God. Does everybody get that? That's going to be the difference maker. Okay? So if you say, I'm not doing it because Keith will be bad, yeah, still timid fear because based on me. If you did it because God said it, that's a reverent fear. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's the two differences. Any other questions? Yes.
watching the sermon, and the sermon was, why are we here? And the pastor was saying that we are built for eternity.
Mm-hmm. He placed eternity in our hearts. Ecclesiastes says that.
So he was saying, like, our resume here should be, like, for what we're supposed to be in the next life.
Yep, he's absolutely right. So when he says that we place eternity in our hearts, we're supposed to live for eternal things. That's why my mind is supposed to be spent on heavenly things. See, some people say, I'm going to get married, have kids, get a job, and then sit home and watch TV. And I'm good. You understand? Those are all temporary. You understand that? And that's me leaning upon my flesh. They're going to have a momentary moment of pleasing me, but they will not satisfy. And that's why even those people who get it, if you talk to a rich person, they're miserable because they go, I have access to everything. What the heck? Why do you think a lot of I hear people who don't have the kind of money that stars and sports players have when they spend all their money. Why do they spend all their money? It's because they got access to something. They're going, I am miserable. At least poor people like us think, if I get rich, I'll be happy. We're deceptive, we're deceived enough. Man, once I have it, then I'll be great. Y'all get where I'm coming from? So the point that's put into me is, I cannot be satisfied because he gave us eternity. And there's no eternity down here. This is temporary. Does everybody get that? So in my temporariness, I'm focused on him. That's why I focus on heavenly things, because he is eternal. I follow what his word says because it is eternal. You say everything I do is eternal. My love for you, eternal. Everything that this word gives me is eternal. So I dwell in eternal, and that fills me. Because it's eternally. You got where I'm coming from. When I focus on worldly things, it's limited. And then we're stuck, if that makes sense.
So I guess my other thought is, if we're talking about resumes, when we go for a job, we put on resumes the things that embellish us, that I would be a good fit for this reception job.
Right.
To be a doctor or whatever.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, if I'm thinking about my life and what my resume is here, I'm not thinking God's going to hire me.
Exactly. And that's a good question. And the only way it will is, as a secretary, you was focused on, as a secretary, what can I do eternally? As a husband, when I get into this relationship, how can I be it eternally? And what I mean by that is, when I, once again, if I married you and say, me and you're going to be happy, okay, that's right. Kind of made a mistake there for a minute. Everybody pray for me. But yes, okay. So in our marriage, if I just said, we're going to get married and we're going to run away together and we're going to, and you see the credits roll and all that stuff, that sounds great. One of us is going to die. You understand that? Or before the credits get done rolling, we're going to get sick of each other. You understand that? You know what I mean? Because it's limited. Do you all understand that? However, if I said, I'm going to marry you and love you as Christ loved the church, and you see what I'm doing right now? Immediately, mine is doing what God said. I'm going for eternity. Do y'all get this? I'm getting an understanding of, I'm giving you eternity in that marriage. When I go to work, he says, remember it says to slaves, obey your masters and everything, and it's talking about co-workers. So you don't go there going, I want to get a raise and I want to get a promotion. Those desires are okay, but I don't live for my raise and my promotion. I live for, okay, I'm going to work as if I'm working unto the Lord. That's why I'm going to do a project or something. And it happened, I remember, years ago where I did. There was one I did. I got no credit for it. But for some odd reason, I was cool. I mean, seriously was. Because there was times I could have said I was and really wasn't. You know, you say, I'm okay with it. You're like, I can't believe it. They didn't know I didn't do it. You know what I mean? And this time it was weird because it was, I did this for Christ. I don't care if he knows. I'm talking about my boss. I don't care. You know what I mean? And it grew more and more of, I'm working for Christ. And it adds, that's eternity. Do you know what I mean? See, some of us, how many of you have ever done something, you build it, and you step back and you look at it, and it made you feel good, right? Now, can you go back to that same thing right now and get the same feeling? No. You know, how many of us paint something, and we love it the 1 minute, and a year later, I got to paint it again. Yeah, it's gone, or whatever. You know what I mean? Because that's temporary. However, when I do something for Christ, that grows. Y'all get where I'm coming from? So that's how, on your resume, it's not that you went to work with a secretary and a marriage and had children. Is did you raise your children in eternity? Or did you raise your children in temporary? You know how I did everything in my life. Was it for eternity? Amen. Does everybody understand that?
So
basically our resume should say fruit.
Exactly. Fruit. Very good. Yes. It should be. It's to make fruit. You're absolutely right. And that fruit's going to show up in everything we do. Yeah.
Right. And on Elijah, you were saying that people do things just for recognition instead of the purpose should be of Christ.
Yes.
We just had a conversation with a young lady, and they had a program at church.
Mm-hmm.
And her name wasn't mentioned, and she was really upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, well, what's your purpose? Do you know, I mean, God should get the glory.
Amen.
So it shouldn't be about, you know, them having your name read.
Amen.
So whatever we do should be for Christ. Let's just say fruit. Everything we do should be a piece of fruit.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. I remember Pastor Summers, we went to a thing for Black Achievers. And anybody here who was in part of that and was in Black Achievers, he was one who ran that and built it, and we got to a really strong thing at the time. We had this award thing, and he was really mentioned. He was part of a group that was mentioned. And I remember I was so angry for him. And when I said it to him, he said, what you said, he was like, it's not for me to get glory, it's for me to just play a part. And praise God, he was absolutely right. Do you understand that? And it didn't bother him. It bothered me, but I was looking at, see, now if I do that, if I get into something and I do it for me, and how many of us have you done something? You really put your all into it and the person didn't appreciate it. How do you know? What if God said, I'm hard in his heart, see if, why you really did it? Because a lot of us are going, nope, don't be doing that again. God said, oh, so I had nothing to do with it, right? You know what I mean? But not, and then in the other turn of that, because you just said I'm not going to do it again, God's going to go, so when I do something for you and you don't appreciate it, guess what? Nope, won't be doing that again. Remember it said, however you measure it, the same will come back to you. Everybody remember that? Yeah. So absolutely, fruit. Yep, it's that fruit. We, in everything you do, you produce fruit. You show that fruit. And that's going to be the difference maker. That's eternity. He placed eternity in our, he says beauty and everything has its beauty in its time. That means that we like stuff for a moment. Go back in the 60s, and they thought they were sharp. We look back at them and we're like, wow. Now they came back around. And we're like, you know what I mean? You see some hairstyles, some clothes, you're like, oh, man. Man, they walk like, see ya. I think one of those shows came on one time. You see him strutting down the street, man. Pants going, okay, never mind. But the other still would be all right. But other, you know, it was just like, you know, and they knew they were sharp, you know what I mean? But then we look at them now, we're like, how are we wearing that? They're going to look back at us, same thing. Look at these people, how they're dressed. You know, what is that? So it's the same thing. So in its time, but eternity, God has been there forever. Amen? All right. There'll be security back there. I know, I see them trying to force you to ask a question. All right, we'll close on that one there. All right, so, all right, that's the other